Hello, happy Wednesday. Hallelujah. Isn't it good to be in the house of God tonight? Praise God. God is great and greatly to be praised. You may be seated. Welcome to everyone who is here in the house and everyone who is joining us online. We are so grateful to be in the presence of God's people and in presence of the living God. Amen. Great is the Lord. We want to welcome you. If you are with us tonight, hopefully you received one of these little connection cards. A few points of interest here. If you would be so kind as to fill that out, you can turn it into an usher, or you can drop it off at the kiosk out in the vestibule, and we have a small gift for you to show you our appreciation. If you're with us online, you can check out the bit.ly link there and fill out the information, and we will let you know, show you our appreciation, try and get in touch with you to respond to your visit with us. We're glad you're with us this evening. Amen. Our giving options, you can give in the offering box that's here at the kiosk in the vestibule again, or you can go to our website, or you can give through our church app, our new church center app. Woohoo! And it is pretty slick. Hopefully, you'll get more used to it as time goes on. Pastor Phil and Pastor Jessica have put a lot of hours into putting that together and preparing it for us, and more and more we'll be doing communicating and organizing with the use of that app, so you'll want to get familiar with it, especially if you want to give in that manner. So please keep that in mind. Coming up this Friday, all church prayer at 7 o'clock here in the main sanctuary. And then on Saturday here at Calvary Gospel Church, we'll be hosting with Pastor Jerry Simmons' leadership as district men's coordinator, Wisconsin Men's Equip Conference, a free conference for all men with Brother Rufus Parker as our special speaker. Begins at 10 a.m. and ends around 2 o'clock. If you have any other questions, please see Pastor Jerry. He can give you all the information that you need. Then also coming up on Thanksgiving, yes, Thanksgiving, it's November already, November 25th, Community Thanksgiving Dinner here at Calvary Gospel Church. We weren't able to do this last year due to COVID, but if you are interested in helping out on that day, please keep that in mind. Pastor Jerry will also be coordinating that, as far as I understand it, on Thanksgiving Day. More details to come. Please pray about that. Consider contributing and coming and volunteering for that. We do have one other thing we want to take care of. October is traditionally Pastor Appreciation Month, but we had it scheduled a couple times to do pastor appreciation in services in October, and there was one pastor who kept messing up the schedule, Brother Seidel. As a result, we weren't able to do it when Pastor Phil had scheduled it, but many of you still were blessing our pastors with and their wives with gifts and cards. My wife always reminds me that when I get a pastor's gift that it's for the pastor and wife, so and it's very much appreciated. But we did, however, want to make sure, even though it's November, that we didn't fail to honor our senior pastor and his wife, Roy and Lois Grant. So we want Sister Lois to come on up. Pastor Roy came here in 1972 with his family, and he's been involved with ministry at Calvary Gospel Church since then. He's been on the bus ministry team. He's been a youth pastor, youth director, in charge of student ministries. He's worked with, which oversaw at one point, Sunday school, youth, and campus ministries. Of course, he organized Veterans Day celebration, Summer Sun Fun Fest, and initiated Touch Twice Free Medical Clinic. He hadn't done much. Went on to be a sectional presbyter for the Wisconsin District and North American Missions Director. And now he has the great joy of being the head of the campground committee. For a long time, he was a plumber, but he talks about that enough when he's preaching, so we don't need to spend any time with that. Sister Lois worked at Oscar Mayer for many, many years, but was always involved in Sunday school and in ministry at another, one level or another. And now she helps out in the office, helps Sister Jessica, does work around the grounds, does everything that she can see that needs to be done. And this couple has done so much for all of us, and they're deserving of all honor. And we love you and thank you, Pastor and Sister Green.
Well, people ask what my wife did at Oscar Mayer, and I said, well, she worked on the kill floor. I said she's very proficient with a knife. You could be seated. She worked there for 42 years. And I appreciate having an awesome, awesome partner, soulmate in life. And it is an honor also to stand here as your pastor. And not something that I – well, sometimes we struggle with God's calling, and I thought my dad was going to be like pastor until the rapture. And, well, that didn't happen. And we're here. And I appreciate your confidence, and it's just such an honor to be able to take and work with such an awesome. You guys are just awesome, and I love this church. And if I was a pastor, I'd still be involved as much as I could be involved because I believe in what we're doing. And with that, my wife's going to step forward. She's going to sing, and she can play the piano now. She's been doing a lot while I got sick with COVID, and I'm just picking on her. Would you like to say something? It's kind of what I figured. All right, I don't know who's next or what's next, but thank you so much. God bless you.
Amen. We had a great service on Sunday with Holy Ghost Sunday. We know of at least four that received the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Is there anyone here tonight who received the baptism of the Holy Ghost on Sunday? We want you to stand up. Praise God. I walked over to Roberto Jr. He was just chattering away here, and I just assumed that he already had the Holy Ghost. I didn't realize that that was the first time that he had been speaking in tongues. I thought, oh, goody, keep praying, boy, keep praying. And here it was. He was receiving the baptism of the Holy Ghost. It was awesome to see. Praise God. And of course, the Vernons did an awesome job, and we were grateful for what they contribute to us here at Calvary Gospel Church, and of course to our fellowship around the world. We want to go to the Lord in prayer. If you would stand, please. Amen. I made a list yesterday of all the people that have been recently sick or in the hospital or in need of special prayer, and there were a list of 10 different names. Brother Nelson is back at home. I heard that yesterday, so praise God for that. Lashaya Washington was in the hospital. I think she's back home. Sister Elise said it was going to be Tuesday or Wednesday that she was going to be home. I didn't check today, so I hope that she's back home from the hospital in Jesus' name, so we can continue to pray for them. We all know someone who's been affected by COVID, people who are recovering still, our pastor and others. The Kryeskis have tested positive, so keep them in prayer. Let's pray for this service and pray for one another in Jesus' name. Lord, we thank you, God, for your goodness to us. We know, O God, that it rains on the just and the unjust, and We hate to see our family members, our brothers and sisters, our loved ones go through these sicknesses and these illnesses, Lord. But we know, God, that you are with them. And we pray, oh God, that even now the presence and the power of God would be manifest in the hearts and the minds of these individuals. Touch Brother Tom Nelson, continue to strengthen him. All of our brothers and sisters who are recovering from COVID, give them quick recovery, I pray, in Jesus' name. I pray for the Kryeskis, oh God, for the touch of God upon them. We pray for Lashaya Washington, oh God, for strength and recovery in her body. We pray, oh God, for your blessing upon the body of Christ, that we may be anointed, Lord, to pray for one another with faith, and that our prayers may be effectual and fervent, oh God, for not only for our own sakes, but for the sake of our brothers and sisters and for the sake of the lost. We pray for your blessing on this service tonight, oh God, that your anointing would flow to our pastor and through our pastor, and your blessing would be upon all that we do, not only for our sake, but for the sake of all those who hear this message and receive this ministry. We give you praise. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. And everyone said, amen.
Thank you. said he'll never lose a battle. Say he'll never lose a battle. And he never will, never will. And he never will, never will. Say he never will.
The Lord, Church, I am so thankful that I serve a God who has never lost. I like that. He's never lost and he never will. So what that tells me is all the chaos going on in the world is all working to his advantage. Oh, you can be seated this evening. Also, just, we have such an incredible pastoral team here at Calvary Gospel Church. Brother John Seidel is our executive pastor, and he does such a tremendous job, and I'm so thankful for Brother John and Sister Terry Seidel. And then we have Brother Phil Demas, who he's our administrative pastor. Brother Phil and Sister Fiona and their contributions here to Calvary Gospel Church over the years, and I appreciate them so very, very much. And, then we have Brother Jerry Simmons and Sister Lindsay and their family over our outreach and their involvement here at Calvary Gospel Church. Brother Jerry is a high energy, let's get it done. I used to be able to keep up with some of these guys, but I just can't do that anymore. And then we have Brother Peter Sandin. He's our family pastor, and he does a tremendous, tremendous job, him and Sister Casey. And I just appreciate all that they do. And then we have Sister Jessica Rivest, who is watching online tonight. They moved into a new home this week, and they're a little bit overwhelmed with, which box is my socks in, and you know how that goes when you move. And I told her, just take the week off and get yourself situated. But she's our administrative pastor and our education pastor, not administrative, our education pastor. And she takes care of all the church finances as well. And I'm just so appreciative. We have some exciting things. We just had our yearly planning session, and last week, Thursday and Friday, and we have some awesome things coming up in 2022, and I'm very excited. We're going to be sharing some of those with you coming up here in the next few weeks. So we've started a series a couple weeks ago now, it's been, on building a stronger spiritual life, and I was going to save this for a Sunday morning series, but I figured that by the time I got done with it would probably be somewhere in February or March because of, I'm just joking there a little bit, okay? So I just decided to push on tonight. I did not get part one completed a few weeks ago on Sunday, but we started talking about building a stronger spiritual life. Now, we live in a world that is a very chaotic world. Things change so rapidly, and from last year to this year, I think we thought last year couldn't get any worse, and then this year we've got all the different things that go along with what happened last year and a response to all of this, and we got things happening all over our globe and things that are happening in our country and in our state and in our city, and we look at all of this, and sometimes as a Christian, I have to be honest with you that my frustration level rises. Because I get aggravated about decisions that are made that affect me that I think are just kind of like dumb. Have you ever listened to the radio and felt like and wished that you could like take your shoe off and throw it at it? I mean, this is, so we deal with all of these. I think it was Brother Aaron Wright that talked about having being a preacher, an evangelist, and a pastor, and having a bit of a road rage issue at times. And it was followed up by one of our members here that talked about controlling your road rage on the Beltline at 5 o'clock on a Friday afternoon, and these struggles. So we have all of these things in our lives that we deal with. And as a Christian, it is a challenge to live and to navigate and to survive so that we can flourish. And it is a challenge to us at times in our lives. Are we all in agreement with that? Let me ask you, when they extended the mask mandate for another month, how many of you just stood up and said, "Hallelujah, I'm so pumped about this"? You see, as a Christian, we have to learn to live our lives according to biblical principles, whether we like those principles or not. Because if we're going to be Christ-like, then that means this book has to be the center. Correct? We say, "Jesus be the center of my life. Jesus be the center of my life." But we don't always really mean it. And how we know whether or not we are serious about it is how we live Jesus. So we're talking about building a stronger spiritual life. So we're going to learn in this series, or we have started to learn about how to nurture, how to feed, how to heal, and how to restore if we need that. So we are reading from Matthew 7, chapter 7, verses 24 through 27. This is our scriptural passage of scripture for this series. And it says, "Therefore, whosoever heareth these things of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man." And that statement within itself says a lot about Jesus Christ, where he says, you know what? If you hear the things that I'm telling you and you do them, now this is God in the flesh talking, "I will liken him unto a wise man, which built his house upon a rock, and the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And everyone that heareth these things of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man who built his house upon the sand, and the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell. And great was the fall of it." You see, the thing we have to understand in this passage of scriptures, these four verses, is it was the same wind, it was the same rain, and it was the same flood. The only difference was it was different builders. One man decided, "I want to build my house upon a firm foundation." And the other man said, "You know what? I want to cut corners. I'm in a hurry. I want to get this done before vacation time starts." And he rapidly built his house on the sand. So building a stronger spiritual life. Now, I went through some points, and some of you that aren't here on our Sunday morning Bible class that are in classes and such, you'll have to catch up with some of this online. But I talked about building or allowing your life, or the first point in building a stronger spiritual life was becoming a river, not a swamp. And I made reference to, I built this koi pond in my backyard, and one of the design issues that I was constantly coming against was how to keep stagnant water out of my pond. Because when it's just a pond and you have no water flowing in or flowing out, it's the same water, you have to design it special ways. And Brother Josh Stone turned me on to a company that builds products that would be advantageous for me to use in this situation. And I found out that in order for me to do this and do it right, I had to build a pond, but it had to flow like a river. And the point that we were making in this is that many of us as Christians, we hoard God's blessings, and they eventually begin to plug us up, much like a dam holds back water. Thus, the blessings in our lives are in danger of becoming spiritually stagnant. God designed us to be like a river, not a swamp, for His presence, His Spirit, to flow through us, not into us and stop. So then we talked about identifying blessings. We live in a country where that we are so very blessed. We complain a lot about things. My goodness, gas went from $3.09 to $3.15 in just a few days' time. And we complain about all these things. But I was in Europe a decade plus ago, and we were paying 450 euros to fill up a vehicle of fuel. A euro at that time was about $1.25 in U.S. money. So it was costing us $500+ to fill up, and that was 15 plus years ago. Oh, that was by the liter, by the way. And if you don't know liters and gallons, a gallon is much more than a liter. So here we are, and we complain about all kinds of things, but we are so, so blessed. Far too often we go through life totally oblivious to the good things that God is flowing into our lives. And I gave you a spiritual challenge. How many of you took that spiritual challenge? How many of you did that spiritual challenge? It took me a little while to get to the seventh day, but I finally figured I come up with the seventh day on the seventh day challenge. And if some of you are wondering what that challenge is, go home tonight, look that message up online, and go through that challenge. It's a blessing challenge for every day of the week. So speaking of blessings, our next point that we'd like to make in this series is when it comes to blessings, what I'm going to say here, this is very crucial. And especially I want the fathers or the authority figure in the home to pay attention to this, that we need to be like Moses and we need to speak words of blessing into our family and into our friends. Did you know that you can speak words of blessing into the lives of your children? You can either give them blessings or you can give them cursings. That's why there are families that always seem to be blessed. You look at them and say, well, they just always have good luck. And then you see families that are always struggling at times. I remember we had a young man that came through Calvary Gospel Church as a young person, and he got the Holy Ghost in high school, and he went on to marry a young lady, and he became a minister, and he's pastoring in Iowa today, and he gave his testimony, and it has stuck with me for all these years. It was Brother Mike Daly, for some of you that may or may not remember him, but his testimony, he talked about how that his grandfather was an alcoholic. And that his dad was an alcoholic, and his mother was an alcoholic, and he was bound by alcoholism in his own life as a teenager, and when he was baptized in the name of Jesus, those chains that had bound him were broken. And he gave the testimony how that his children, his son and his daughter, would not be bound by that same addiction that he was bound, because the chains were broken and he was going to speak blessings into their life. His young son, who's grown up now, owns one of the largest plumbing shops in the whole area that in which they live. He came here on summers and would help us out plumbing over the summers. And God has blessed him in a mighty, mighty way. So one thing that I've started to do is every email, every text message, I try to sign off by saying, blessings to you, my brother.
Blessings to you, my sister. Blessings to you, my friend. I pray daily for my grandchildren. I pray daily for my parents, for my brother, for my daughter and my son-in-law, that God would bless their lives. We had a couple come to church just for a short time. This was years and years and years ago. And they owned a tavern. And if I'm not mistaken, it's the tavern that has Taco Tuesday right across the road from here. But I can't quite remember if that was the tavern that they owned. We speak about blessings. They told my dad one night in conversation that all they needed was 10 alcoholics to support their tavern and to give them a very, very comfortable lifestyle. When you look at this, speaking blessings, I want to speak blessings. I go to the store. We can't always say, God bless you. People get offended. I just say, have a blessed day. Have a blessed day. I go to the restaurant. Have a blessed day. Blessings to you today. You see, if we really believe that God is with us and God is in us, then we need to allow him to work his fruit. Remember, we talked about that a little while ago. We need to allow him to work his fruit through us, and it should flow through us. It may come in as a blueberry and go out as a blessing. It may come in as a pineapple and go out as a blessing. But the fruits come into our lives as the fruits of the Spirit, and they should go out of our lives. One of the most beautiful and compassionate passages that you can find in the Scripture. It was words of blessings that Moses pronounced. We read in Numbers chapter 6, verses 24 through 26, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. And the Lord turn his face toward you. That means that he desires to show his favor and give you peace. You see, we can get creative with our language in this and speak words that will uplift. There's so much negativity. Just sometimes I just wear out because of the negativity that comes with the position that I hold. Not everybody is that way, but you just I have a far more people come to me to complain than come to me to say, hey, Pastor Roy, I want you to see this. Sister Jan Rager showed me an incredible testimony on Facebook of someone that we know that used to attend this church years ago, the connections, and it's good to see and hear a good report. It's good to see and hear when things are going good. Not that you don't want to hear when things aren't going good, but we need to uplift, encourage, inspire, and allow our lives to be a blessing. And did you know that even a problem that God solves for us can be a blessing to someone else when we share it with them? Our world has nowhere to turn. They can't turn to the government for help. They can't turn to most of their employers today. I mean, it's you turn in your two-week notice, they let you go the very minute they find out that you turn in a two-week notice, and before you get in your car in the parking lot, they've already got people lined up to interview. Most companies, corporations, they really don't care about whether or not if you work there or not. Maybe they care a little bit more now because there's such a shortage. But listen, the law of sowing and reaping applies in a very big way in this. As you build them up, them being your family, your friends, your co-workers, your own spirit will get stronger. Listen to this. You're frustrated with your life. You're tired of how things have been going. Start to apply some of these principles. We need to nurture and develop. This is our next point. This is very, very, very critical and crucial. We need to nurture and develop a shared prayer life. Now, there are some things that I just pray and I don't share with anybody. There's some things I pray about that I don't even share with my wife. There's situations that happen that I'm like, you know what, I do not want her to have to be burdened with this, so I share it with God. Say, God, I don't know what to do about this. I don't even know how to begin to deal with this, but you're going to have to give me wisdom and show me what needs to be done. But I believe that this is such a critical step in building our Christian lives stronger, because when we have a shared prayer life, it keeps us focused. It keeps us focused. And church, we desperately need to increase the amount of time we spend in prayer, and we can increase it by a shared prayer life. A shared prayer life. I have a few men in the congregation that I talk to almost on a daily basis. Brother Glenn Rossing, almost every day I get a text message, Pastor, what can I help you pray about today? What can I help you pray about today? For years and years and years, Brother Jim Rivas and I have met every Monday or Friday, and we've had lunch. And one of the things we always would talk about was we would share in the course of conversation what God is doing or different things that, and it has helped me grow. I've gone into lunch all bummed out and frustrated and come out feeling pretty good. Why? Because being able to take and share a burden with someone that you know cares helps lighten your load. Even though your burden may not have went away, you still may be dealing with it. You still may be broke. Your car still may be in the shop. Things still may be a issue, but just sharing that with a brother or a sister. So how do we go about this? Well, this is a powerful principle that we can activate, and it works like this. Reading from Deuteronomy 32:30 in the Amplified. How should one chase a thousand? How should one chase a thousand? And two put 10,000 to flight, except their rock had sold them and Jehovah had delivered them up. Now, this is a biblical principle. Did you know that? Moses stated this. Look how this works, because Moses states it, then years later Joshua repeats it, and it's repeated in the Psalms as well. Joshua 23:10 says, one of you routs a thousand because the Lord your God fights for you just as he promised. So when you think about this, if one can put a thousand and two can put 10,000. So how do we actually do this? Well, it's as simple as letting one other person know that you're always available for prayer. It's that simple. It's that simple. That means I could call any one of you brothers or sisters any time of the day or text you and say, we got an issue here. Help me pray. And you begin to pray. we just took one can put 1,000 and two can put 10,000. So can you imagine if you do the algorithm in the math? I did it up to 7 and I lost track. It's astronomical. I don't know how many demons they are, but I know they're outnumbered 2 to 1. But if one puts 1,000, two puts 10,000, that's some serious whooping. That's some serious ammunition. That's powerful. And this is a principle that God says, would you get a grip on this? Don't keep every problem you have buried deep within you. Share it. Share it. It's just that simple. Sometimes it's, as I said, letting your friends know that you're available for prayer, attending regular prayer meetings. This Friday night, there's going to be probably 100, 125 people show up. And we're going to take an exercise this. Sister Linda Brown is going to lead us in corporate prayer. And we are going to put literally hundreds of trillions of spirits to flight. We fight not against flesh and blood. We know Ephesians. This is a spiritual battle, church. And we have to fight it spiritually. Prayer. Participating in a prayer chain. We have a number of prayer chains here at Calvary Gospel Church. And I would encourage you to get involved in that. You see, prayer activates our faith. Now let me clarify that, because some of us, the way we pray, probably wouldn't activate very little to any faith, because we pray frustration prayers, and they're negative prayers, and they're all about me prayers. So if you're praying frustration prayers and you're praying negative prayers and you're praying it's all about me prayers, it's probably not going to help you much in the faith activation process of this. God designed all of this to give us power and authority to live our lives as a Christian, as He would desire us to live. So the last point we're going to cover is taking a step of faith. Taking a step of faith. Spiritual growth means taking a step of faith. And yes, sometimes that step is a little bit more than a step. Sometimes God asks us to take a leap of faith. We got to jump into this process. Most of us, we want to just stick our big toe in, test the waters, and if the waters are fine, then we'll slowly step in. The first person to swim in our swim pond, the water was 56 degrees. And I had two young men from the church over there helping me in a project. And I wanted to go swimming. And the very first person to jump into my pond, he didn't stick his toe in. He didn't test the waters. He walked up, looked at the water, and Nolan Rossing plunged. He took a leap of faith into the pond. Now, Jake Lutzgraff was with him. And it took quite a little convincing to finally slowly worked his way in. But you see, some of us, we just take that leap. God says, I'm going to do this. God, I believe you. Splunge. Other ones, this is no reflection on these two boys. That's just an example. Others, a little more reluctant. God says, I want you to do this. Well, Lord, you know, I'm not really good at that. Well, I didn't ask you whether you were good at it or not. I want you to do it. So, has God given you a dream or a vision? Rather than trying to get everything in place, this is what we do. We want to get everything perfect before we start to follow after that dream or that vision that God has given us. I don't know. Here's a thought. If God has called us to do a specific thing, God has given us a specific dream or vision, why don't we just follow God's leading and allow the plan to evolve as we move forward? Sometimes all God wants is for us to just move forward. All God needed was for Moses to get the children of Israel out of Egypt. And the rest of it, God said, I'm big enough, I can take care of it myself, but I need Moses to get them out. That's all it is. Take that step. They didn't leave in groups of two, three, four, five, whoever was comfortable. They all, an entire nation of people, took a plunge, a leap of faith. And in one night's time, they were gone. The land of Goshen was totally, nobody there, the inhabitants, totally gone. You see, taking a leap of step means trusting God to provide whatever we may need for our success. God is in the restoration business. You believe that? So if God is in the restoration business, then so are we. We are here, should be here, to restore, to rebuild. Our church should be a hospital for the sick, a restoration center for those who need restoring. Did you know that we can restore other people's faith? Did you know that? This is our project for this week, okay? I'm not for sure if I'm on the schedule next Wednesday night, Brother Phil, but for this week, this is between this Wednesday and next Wednesday night. I want you to take and take time. Sometimes we just have to take the time. We can't really make time, but take time to help someone who is wounded, someone who is hurt, to extend kindness to someone who needs a friend, just someone to come alongside and say, listen, you got a flat tire, you need help changing it. I drove into the hardware store parking lot today, and there was two older gentlemen trying to fix. They had a camper in there, and they were trying to fix something that had broken. And I just thought, you know what? Maybe they need some help. So I said, hey, you guys need some help? You need anything? No, we got everything we need. O'Reilly's had it. But, man, thanks for stopping. Thanks for stopping. Appreciate that. You know? And sometimes it's just the little things. You don't know. We could say, well, I'll never see that person again. They're never going to come to church. They're never going to get the Holy Ghost. We have no idea. We may just be one little part of God's plan for that person's life. And God says, I'm going to break their camper down so they're stuck in a parking lot so you can meet them. I don't know if Philip ever met the eunuch again. I don't know if he ever saw him again in his life. But God says, you know what, Philip, you're the closest thing I got. There you go. Enjoy the ride. God didn't even put him back where he started. He had to preach his way back home. And boy, did he preach his way back home. I think revival broke out in Samaria because of God's like, hey, you know what? I can do two things here. I can send a revival to Ethiopia, and I can start a revival in Samaria. We have no idea. But it all begins with just taking the time. So as we stand to our feet and our musicians come, our world is broken, church. Our world is broken. I don't go to a lot of restaurants like I did before COVID, just because I don't think I've been to any of the restaurants around the mall, to Chili's or Friday's, Applebee's. It's probably been 2 years since I've been to some of those restaurants. But I frequent some of the smaller little diners there, Waterloo and Cottage Grove. One thing I found out that since COVID, waitresses, boy, they really like to talk. My wife and I met today at one of our favorite little eating places, and Alicia, the waitress, she talked and talked probably 30, 35 minutes, just talking about life, putting in a new chain link fence, black vinyl coated, the problems they're having with the HOA association because they're not happy about it. Just listening. Her father-in-law owns the place. He had a stroke about 5-6 months ago. Told him I'd be praying for him. Talk with him as frequently as I can when he's there. And how you doing, Dom? You doing all right? You able to cook again? Miss your cooking. You want onion rings? Oh, my word, the man can cook onion rings and deep-fried mushrooms. Man, Lord, I need him in my life. It's just all about helping restore someone's faith. He came to my table 6 months ago, and he sat down, and he said, "Well, Pastor, it's kind of funny. I'm in there on Friday, or I'm in there Mondays a lot with Brother Jim Rivest. I'm in there Wednesdays. I go there by myself. I like to just think about tonight." And one of the waitresses asked me one day, she says, "We kind of all curious what you do for a living. Because you're here on Monday with Jimmy and you have a flannel shirt on and usually khaki pants or work pants or some sort. You come in on Wednesdays a lot. You have on a sport jacket. A lot of times I'll go there and come straight here." I said, "Well, what do you think I do?" "Well, we think you're a minister." I said, "Yeah. Yeah, you're right." So Dom sits down. He says, "I want to talk to you about two things you never talk about. One's religion and one's politics." We sat there for probably an hour. "I've taken many of you there for lunch. It's a plug for Black Bear in Cottage Grove, in case some of you haven't figured that out yet. They got awesome biscuits and gravy. Some of the best. Amen, Brother Carey." You see, this is what I'm talking. This is about this. Silly. I'm not, you say, "Well, Pastor, you're just rambling up there. It's altar call, and you're talking about biscuits and gravy and burgers at Black Bear." This is about being Christ-like. We have to connect with the world we live in if we're going to win the world we live in. I just got to say this, okay? Just give me. We met a missionary, and a lot of places were closed because of COVID or closed early, and we told them to meet us there. My wife and I were there earlier, and a little bit earlier, and the missionaries come in, and we see them in the car, and they kind of look at the place, and they back out and leave. I'm like, did they just leave? A little bit later, I get a text message. Pastor, are you talking about the log cabin place? And I'm like, yeah, that's it. They come back in and they're like, wow, we were amazed because we didn't think you would bring us to a place like this. I'm like, man, I brought a lot of pastors. We've solved a lot of issues. I've done a lot of counseling. I've been uplifted. I've lifted other people up. We can help others. This is what God has called us for, to gather up the pieces of perhaps their broken dreams and say, hey, what can I do to help you pray? What can I pray for? As Brother Ross sings every day, Pastor, what can I help you pray for today? You see, today I feel that it's critical. It's critical. We're at the critical level, church, to where that whatever we can do to radiate God's love, we need to do it. We need to allow those fruits that flow through us, producing within us, so we can show the world God's unconditional love. So tonight, just very simple. It's not a heavy altar call or anything like that. I just want to just ask us to just find a place to pray. Say, God, I need a prayer partner. I need somebody to pray with every day. Maybe you don't have one. Lord, I have an attitude with life, and I need some adjustments. My neighbors are going through a divorce. I don't know how to talk with them, Lord. So-and-so at work's always got a bad attitude, Lord, and I need to, how God? How can I help restore someone's faith? How can I help restore someone's broken dream? So I just want to open up this altar tonight. I want to be as Christ-like as I can be. I'm not perfect. I will tell you right now, I am far from perfection. But I'm willing to allow God to, I've said this so many times, God, use me, change me, and if I refuse to be used or changed, then just remove me, God. If you have to get me out of the way, get somebody, God, I just want to do what you want me to do. So Sister Brittany begins to sing. These altars are open tonight. Talking about building a stronger spiritual life. God bless.
Yes.
trust what you say, then you're good, your love is great. I'm broken inside, I give you my life. Give me faith, trust what
Lord. Again, church, I just want to encourage you. Friday night we have our prayer meeting, and I just want to encourage each and every one of you to come to that. And then we have our men on Saturday. Brother Rufus Parker will be here, and if you've never heard Brother Rufus Parker teach, he's an incredible, he's written a number of books. So I'm sure he'll probably bring some of those books with him. But he'll be here on Saturday, and then he's going to stay over. Him and Sister Parker will be here Sunday. He'll be teaching Sunday morning, and then he'll be preaching in our second set on Sunday. So we're excited. We want to have a brother and Sister Parker here. He is an incredible teacher, an incredible preacher, and you will enjoy his ministry immensely. So God bless you. And we will see you here on Friday night. We'll get her. God bless you.